Federal base, 1 minute in closing.
Big Wedge, let's close it up. We're going in full throttle.
That ought to keep those fighters off our back.
Right with you, boss.
Luke, at that speed, would you be able to pull out in time?
It'd be just like Beggar's Canyon back home.
Back far enough to cover you.
My scope shows the tower, but I can't see the exhaust port.
You sure the computer can hit it?
Watch yourself. Increase speed full throttle.
What about that tower?
You worry about those fighters. I'll worry about the tower. R2, that stabilizer's broken loose again. See if you can't lock it down. More good back there.
Sorry.
Let him go. Stay on the lead.
Hurry, Luke. They're coming in much faster this time. We can't hold them.
R2 trying to increase the power.
Hurry up, Luke. Wait!
Rebel base, 30 seconds and closing.
I'm on the beat.
Hang on, R2.
Star Wars, Lisa. The answer is Star Wars. Yeah. So, hey, this is a really exciting day for me. In fact, it's a bucket list item. I get to show movie clips about Star Wars while doing a sermon. I mean, seriously, I've been waiting for this my whole life. And the reason is Star Wars has been an incredibly shaping force, excuse the pun, in my life. In fact, I spent hours as a child just staring at objects, trying to move them with my mind. Listen, I knew the difference between fiction and nonfiction. I got it, but a kid can only hope, right? I figured I was going to be a Jedi someday. When I grew a little bit older, Episode 1 came out, and that destroyed a lot of dreams for me. But I did see that 7 times in the theater, 2 of them on the first day that it actually was released. Star Wars was a serious thing in my household. When I bought my first house, the motivating reason for buying that particular house was it was on New Hope Road, which, if you know anything about Star Wars, Episode 4, A New Hope, it was destiny. It was meant to be. And now as a father, I'm getting to introduce this love of Star Wars to my children. It's great. My 5-year-old, she asked to watch Star Wars all the time. And just recently, I took her to Five Below, and you know what she bought? A lightsaber. Proud father moments. Now, if you've never seen Star Wars before, you're missing out because it is hands down, I know, hokey special effects because it's made back in the 70s, but hands down, the best sci-fi series, movies, whatever you want to call it, ever, okay? I'll just throw that out there. If you want to dispute this with me, you're just wrong. Now, if you haven't seen it, you're missing out, but let me recap a little bit about what's going on, because I threw you right into the middle of the scene that happens right at the end of Episode 4, A New Hope. And in it, Luke Skywalker, our hero, he's flying in an X-Wing down this trench that's on this massive superweapon called the Death Star, a planet-destroying weapon. And all of a sudden, he starts hearing voices in his head. How did he end up here? How did he end up here? Well, that's the question we're going to answer today. How did Luke end up here, and is he going to listen to those voices or do something else? So, one thing you got to understand about Star Wars before we have this conversation, though, is in Star Wars, there's this energy that links everything together in the universe. It links everything together, and those who learn to listen to the voice of that energy, they become something called Jedis, and they can do amazing things like, backflips and I don't know, that sort of thing. They can read people's minds. They can plant thought in people's minds. They can throw things around using the Force. And so it is called the Force. And we're going to be talking about the Force a whole lot today because as Christ followers, we also have something that acts as a guide in our life and empowers us to do some amazing things if we choose to follow the right voice. All for the last 4 weeks, we've been talking about this series called Drive-In. We've been talking about core values. And in Drive-In, we look at a core value and we look at it through the lens of a famous movie that came out. In this case, we're going to be talking about the value of spirit-led living. Joe touched earlier on these core values that we have. But just to recap, core values are, if we were going to boil down Jesus' life, they're the values that drove him. They're the things that he lived, the things that he did. It's how he lived while he walked on this earth. And if we're going to be Christ followers, then these core values are something that we need to embody as well. And so today we're going to be talking about the core value of spirit-led living. Spirit-led living. And if we were going to define that, it would be something like this. Jesus kept in step with the Spirit. Now that same Spirit is in my life to guide me to grow God's kingdom on this earth. We have the Spirit of God living inside of us. And he is guiding us to grow his kingdom. And the Spirit's a big deal in the Bible. In fact, in the New Testament, if you were going to read through it, it mentions the Spirit over 250 times. And it gives him over 40 different titles and names. And these different titles and names, they describe what the Spirit does in the life of a believer. And even Jesus emphasized how important the Spirit was to those of us who were going to follow him. In John 16, he starts describing that he's going to be leaving, and he's preparing his followers the fact that he is going to leave this earth very soon. He's going to die, actually. He's going to die on the cross. He's going to rise again. He's going to live for 40 days, and then he's going to ascend to his Father in heaven, and he's going to leave them. And so he begins to prepare them, and these were his words. But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Now, I'm sure the disciples at this point were like, what? For our good, Jesus, we're following you. You're setting up a kingdom, and you're supposed to be the king, and you're going away. How is that a good thing? And he goes on to explain. He says, unless I go away, the advocate, this is a name for the Spirit here, will not come to you. But if I go away, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment, about sin because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So Jesus says, I'm leaving, but it's good. Because the Spirit of God is going to come and live in your life. Only if I leave, only if I leave, this is going to happen. And he starts describing some of the things that the Spirit's going to do. As we saw here, the Spirit, he's going to act as an advocate, act as a defense before God for us. He's going to convict us. He's going to convict us about sin and judgment and things in this world. And he's going to lead us into all truth. He's going to reveal to us what God's love is all about. What God's grace is all about, what it means to truly follow him. This Spirit was going to come if Jesus left this earth. And I think the biblical scholar Mark Moore really summed it up well with this statement. He said, Jesus will leave the earth through the cross. The Holy Spirit comes to complete the work of the cross through conviction, regeneration, sanctification, intercession, guidance, and strengthening. Virtually all of the Spirit's work is to amplify, clarify, and apply the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. Now, if you were going to read through all those 250 mentions of the Holy Spirit, what you're going to find is this is what he does. This is a great summary of what he does. He convicts, as we saw in Jesus' word, he convicts us of the sin and brokenness and wrongness in our life. He regenerates. He gives us a new life and continues to help us flourish and be new people. He sanctifies. He makes us holy before God. He intercedes, because guess what? We're still going to mess up, right? And he intercedes before God. It says with groans that words cannot even put into action. He acts as a source of guidance for us, leading us and showing us the lives that we should live, and he strengthens us. Just a couple weeks ago, Chris Freeman gave a sermon on selfless service, and he talked about spiritual gifts, and that's one of the ways that the Spirit strengthens us. But when you are down, when you're at your lowest point, when you feel like you can't go on, the Spirit of God is there to give you the strength, give you the motivation, give you the peace and joy that you need in that moment to keep going. The Spirit does so much for us, and I hope that you get from what I just said is the Spirit is critical in the life of a believer. Actually, let me say this even more. The Spirit is critical. We cannot, absolutely cannot, no possible way be a Christ follower without the Spirit of God in our lives. There is no possible way. So we better get to know that Spirit really well, right? But the problem is there are a lot of other things in this world that are speaking into our lives. There are a lot of other distractions, things that are going to hamper us from actually following the guidance of the Spirit. So let's check in with Luke and see the distractions that he faced as he attempted to hear the voice of the Force.
Now let's see if we can't figure out what you are, my little friend, and where you come from.
I saw part of the message.
I seem to have found it.
Years ago, you served my father in the Clone Wars. Now he begs you to help him in his struggle against the Empire. I regret that I am unable to present my father's request to you in person, but my ship has fallen under attack, and I'm afraid my mission to bring you to Alderaan has failed. I have placed information vital to the survival of the Rebellion into the memory systems of this R2 unit. My father will know how to retrieve it. You must see this droid safely delivered to him on Alderaan. This is our most desperate hour. Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
You must learn the ways of the Force if you're to come with me to Alderaan.
Alderaan? I'm not going to Alderaan. I've got to get home. It's late. I'm in port as it is.
I need your help, Luke. She needs your help. I'm getting too old for this sort of thing.
I can't get involved. I've got work to do. It's not that I like the Empire. I hate it, but there's nothing I can do about it right now. It's such a long way from here.
That's your uncle talking.
Oh, boy, my uncle. How am I ever going to explain this?
Learn about the Force, Luke.
I can take you as far as Anchorhead. You can get a transport there to Mos Eisley or wherever you're going.
You must do what you feel is right, of course.
So Luke lists off this series of distractions, reasons why he cannot follow the Force. He talks about job responsibilities. He talks about his family. He talks about fears that he has. Oh, it's so far away. I can't do that. Later on in movie 2, we see that there's actually friends that kind of get in the way of him following the Force. There are a lot of distractions for Luke along the way, and it should come as no surprise to us as Christ followers that we're going to face a lot of distractions in this world as we attempt to follow the guidance of the Spirit. We're going to face a lot of the same challenges. Now, in the Bible, in the New Testament, there was an author named Paul. And Paul started off as an enemy of Christ. In fact, he imprisoned Christians, he killed them, but he ended up encountering Jesus Christ in a miraculous sort of way, and as a result, his life completely changed. He became a follower of Jesus, and he went on to have the Spirit in his life, and he went on to do many great things for this early church. And if you read through the book of Acts, you're going to see again and again and again the Spirit guiding Paul into these crazy circumstances, circumstances that sometimes don't make any sense to someone without the Spirit, but he follows. And later on, he writes this book of Romans, and in the book of Romans, he talks about what Spirit-led living really looks like. And I think we can trust his words because he actually did this. He actually followed the Spirit. He actually listened for the voice of the Spirit in the world and followed through on it. So in Romans, we're going to be camping out there for a little bit and looking at what it has to say about this idea of Spirit-led living. Romans 8. But I want to back up just for a moment to Romans 7 because I think it really prepares us for what's in Romans 8. In Romans 7, Paul writes about how his desire is to really follow God in all aspects of his life, to follow the Spirit, to do the things of the Spirit. And he writes and he says, I want to live this way, but I keep falling short. In his words, he says, I don't do the things I do want to do, and I do the things I don't want to do. He keeps finding himself messing up, keeps finding himself back at a place where there's brokenness. And I think this is an idea that all of us can, it really probably resounds with us a bit. We find ourselves in the same place thinking, why am I here? And he writes in Romans 8 and explains why this is. And he starts off by saying that there are multiple forces or laws at work in our life. He talks about three of them. He says there's the law of Moses. So if you're going to go back in the Bible all the way to the beginning and read the early books of Exodus and Leviticus, you would find the law of Moses. And this law was given to Moses, who was the leader of the Israelites, so that they could follow it and have a right relationship with God. And Paul writes about the law later on and says what the law does for us is it reveals the sin and brokenness in our life. It reveals the fact that there is no way that we can have a right relationship with God apart from Christ. And then he talks about the law of the flesh. And he says there's this thing called the law of the flesh. We sometimes call it sin or our sinful nature. And that law of the flesh is out there, and it's opposing everything that God wants. It's speaking into our lives death and brokenness again and again and again. And then he explains one third law. He says there's the law of the Spirit of life. And so in Romans 8, he compares someone who follows the law of the flesh and the law of the Spirit of life. Check this out. He says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. And this makes sense, right? You're focused on how you're living, right? And if you're focused on fleshly things, then you're going to be thinking fleshly things. If you're focused on spirit things, then you're going to be thinking spirit things, and vice versa. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. So what's the product of following the flesh? What is it? Death, right? And what's the product of following the Spirit? Life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Cannot please God. So he talks about this law of the flesh, this sin, this brokenness inside of us, and he says it is diametrically opposed to what God desires for us. It brings about death. It brings death between us and God. It brings death in our relationship with one another. It brings death even in ourselves, a physical death as well as just so many emotional and mental issues that can come along as a result of the sin and brokenness that is residing in us. It brings death. But on the other side, we have the Spirit of life. We have the Spirit of life. Now, which sounds better to you? Death or life and peace?
Life and peace.
Right? Yeah, I mean, life and peace. That makes sense, right? All of us would probably say life and peace sounds a lot more exciting than the idea of death. But it's not about what we say, it's about what we do. You understand that, right? We're all following a law of some sort. In fact, these are two things that we can take away from what Paul says. First of all, the law you follow is the life you live, okay? So it's not about the words that you say, it's about the actions that you live, guys, all right? And if you look around your life, if you look at the actions that you have in your life, the relationships that you have in your life, the things that are going on in your life, what do you see? Sin and brokenness at work, or do you see the Spirit of life, the work of God at work in your life? Because the law you follow is the life you live. Okay, so you could say, I want to follow the Spirit. I want to follow Jesus Christ. But your life is a direct testimony to the law you're actually following. And the second thing is we're all following something. And this is a really difficult idea for those of us who are in this this amazing first world country of America because we like choice. We like being in control, ultimately, of our destiny and where we're going and what we're doing. But Paul says we're all following something. And notice, he doesn't give us, like, dozens of choices here. He gives us two choices, right? He says you're either following the law of the Spirit of life or you're following the law of the flesh. Those are the only two choices. So remember, Luke has all these distractions in his life, this family, friends, fear, all these different things. And some things we look at and we say, yeah, absolutely, some of those things are bad, right? You don't want to allow fear to become the guiding force in your life, right? That's not good. But what about family? What about friends? That's not so bad, right? But Paul is arguing here that there is guidance of the Spirit and guidance of everything else. And if we allow good things to take priority in our life, to act as the guiding force in our life, then we are going to miss out on the things that God has for us. We're going to miss out on the guidance of the Spirit. When we allow the voices of our friends to be louder than the Spirit, then we are missing out on the life that God has designed us for. You get that? And so the question that we've got to ask ourselves is, if we're not following the Spirit, then who or what are we following? What voice are we listening to? What voice are we listening to? So the law you follow is the law you live. We're all following something. And that means that as Christ followers, if we're going to hear the voice of the Spirit, we're really going to have to focus. We're really going to have to train and equip ourselves to actually hear that voice. And that's what Luke does. He begins to learn to listen to the voice of the force in his life. Check out this next clip.
I suggest you try it again, Luke. This time, let go your conscious self and act on instinct.
With the blast shield down, I can't even see. How am I supposed to fight?
Your eyes can deceive you. Don't trust them. Stretch out with your feelings. You see? You can do it.
I call it luck.
In my experience, there's no such thing as luck.
Look, good against remotes is one thing. Good against the living, that's something else. Looks like we're coming up on Alderaan.
You know, I did feel something. I could almost see the remote.
That's good. You've taken your first step into a larger world.
So Luke starts to listen. He starts to hear this voice. And this is just the beginning. He goes on to continue training. If you watch The Empire Strikes Back, he spends a long time training to hear this voice of the Force, to actually follow its guidance in his life. And we, too, have to train and equip and listen to the voice of the Spirit. So jumping back over to Romans, here's what Paul says about listening to the Spirit. He says, "You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ." Remember what we said earlier. Having the Spirit of God in your life is critical to being a Christ follower. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. So Paul starts off by talking about all these positive effects of having the Spirit of God in your life. You belong to Christ. Even though your body is failing, it's growing older, it's dying, the Spirit inside of you is being rejuvenated, being brought to life. And it says that ultimately, because Jesus Christ beat death, we too, who have a relationship with Him, on the other side of this life, we're going to receive a new body, a perfect body, a regenerated body. Okay? That's some good stuff. That's some exciting stuff. And that's a reason to follow the Spirit. But he goes on and he says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation." We have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die." Our obligation isn't to sin. Our obligation isn't to the brokenness. Our families aren't going to save us. Our friends aren't going to save us. All the good things in this life aren't going to save us. We have an obligation to the Spirit. And he goes on, he says, "But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." So brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. We have an obligation to listen to the voice of the Spirit, to put to death those things in us which are not of Christ, right? So Paul is emphasizing two things. We've got to stop living according to the flesh because it's going to kill us. And we need to start listening to the Spirit because that's what brings life. And listening to the Spirit means putting to death those things which do not belong to God, putting to death those things which have no place in the kingdom. And you might think, oh, well, I've got like a little bit of sin in my life. Like I gossip a little bit, you know, whatever. You know, God's going to forgive me for that. No, you got to understand, like, if we are not actively putting to death those things inside of us, that sin inside of us, that brokenness inside of us that is speaking to us, then it's going to kill you, okay? It's going to kill you. You can say, oh, I just gossip a little bit, but guess what? Gossip leads to death. You can say, oh, well, I've just viewed pornography a few times in the last couple months. Pornography leads to brokenness and death. Envy. Oh, I'm just a little bit jealous. Jealousness leads to envy, leads to bitterness. It leads to death. These little things inside of us, we've got to put them to death. We've got to put them to death. They do not belong in the kingdom of God, guys. They do not belong to the way of the Spirit. So we've got to actively start following the Spirit, listening to his voice by putting those things to death. Now, as I mentioned, we've got a ton of things that are speaking into our lives all the time. More than any other time in history, we have more voices that are speaking to us. And so it's going to be really important for each of us to learn to discern the voice of the Spirit. How do we do that? I think, first of all, the Spirit, he speaks through conviction. The Spirit speaks through conviction in our lives. And Jesus already said this back in John 16. He says this is part of the purpose of the Spirit in our life. He's going to convict us about sin. He's going to convict us about brokenness. He's going to convict us on judgment and on the things to come. He is there as a source of conviction. He's not there to make you feel bad all the time, but he is pointing out those things which do not belong in God's kingdom. He's saying this does not belong here. Now, I can guarantee you every single one of us wrestles with sin. Every single one of us probably has some sin in our life that we have not completely gotten out of, have gotten rid of. And you probably know what that is. Okay, I don't need to like convict you on this. You probably, without me telling you, know what the sin and brokenness in your life is. That's conviction, guys. That's the Spirit of God speaking into your life. And guess what? You're going to find yourself at a point where you're sitting there and you messed up again. You found yourself in the same place and you're going to ask yourself, you're going to hear this question, why am I here? Why are you here? That is the Spirit of God speaking into your life. Why are you here? Why do you keep coming back to this place? And that means that we need to learn to flee from those things. We need to put to death those things in our lives that are a source of conviction. If you struggle with alcohol, don't sit at the bar. Don't go to the bar. You can't have one drink. That's a source of death in your life. If you're going to struggle with pornography, don't go into an empty room and put a screen in front of yourself. That's just asking for death. If you're a gossip, put down the phone. You've got to flee from those things which the Spirit of God is convicting you in. The Spirit will speak through conviction. He will also speak through God's word. So 2,000 years ago, a group of people wrote these words. And we call this God's word, but you got to understand that they were under the influence of the Spirit of God when they actually wrote these things. So these are not only God's words, but they're the words of the Spirit of God, okay? So when we're wrestling with an idea, when we're wrestling with a thought, when we're wrestling with some decision in our life, one of the questions that we need to ask is, what does the Bible say about this? What does the Bible say about this? What does God's word actually say on this subject? Dig into the Bible. Try to get an answer there. Now, here's the thing. A lot of the stuff that the Bible writes was written, as I said, 2,000 years ago. So some of it, none of it's outdated. There's plenty of principles in there that are there to guide us. But you might not find your specific situation. You might not find your specific problem that you're dealing with. What then? Well, the Spirit also speaks through other Christ followers. He speaks through other people that are walking the same path as you. Remember, when we follow Christ, when we choose him as Lord of our life, the Spirit of God actually comes and indwells us. That means there are people in this room who have the Spirit of God living in them, okay? And that means that you need to surround yourself with people who are spiritually wise, who can speak wisdom from the Spirit into your life, that have spiritual discernment. Just last week, Dale talked about real relationships and how we are designed for relationship by God. We are meant to be in relationship. That's why we have a church. That's what the church is meant to be, a source of relationship. And that means that when you're wrestling, when you're questioning, when you're trying to figure out life, you need to ask the question, who has the spiritual wisdom to speak into my life? So we've talked about how the Spirit speaks through conviction. We've talked about how the Spirit speaks through God's word. It was through other Christ followers. The Spirit of God, if he is in you, is also going to speak through thoughts and ideas. Thoughts and ideas. Now, I want to be careful with this one. And the reason is, as I already said, if you are a Christ follower, the Spirit of God is in you. So it shouldn't come as any surprise that that Spirit is sometimes going to plant in a thought or idea in your head. But as I said, you've got a lot of other voices. You've got a lot of other voices in your life. And so you're going to, when it comes to thoughts and ideas, you're going to have to really clarify, is this from the Spirit or is this from something else? And this question, I think, is super helpful. This is from Pete Briscoe. He did a video series called Hearing the Holy Spirit's Voice. It's on Right Now Media, and he expands on this in that series. You can go and check that out if you want to. But he said, if I obey this voice, will it bring life or will it bring death? Remember, the Spirit brings life and peace. The flesh brings death. It brings brokenness. It brings destruction. So when you're wrestling through something, like maybe you know you need to have a tough conversation with a brother or sister in Christ, and you got to ask yourself this question, if I have this conversation, is it going to bring life? Is it going to bring life between them and God, myself and God, our relationship? Is this going to bring life? Or is this going to bring death? Is it going to bring destruction? Is it going to bring brokenness? Maybe I should date this person. Well, is that going to bring life? Or is it going to bring death? These are the filters that we have for hearing the voice of the Spirit in our lives. We talked about four things here, right? Conviction, God's word, other Christ followers, thoughts and ideas that the Spirit plants into our life. And what I want to emphasize is you shouldn't pick one of these and just run with it. You need all of them. He speaks in multiple ways because we need multiple sources of his voice coming into our life. So if you have a thought or idea, you should filter it through God's word. You should go to those who you consider spiritually wise, and you should ask them about it, and you should follow those convictions that you feel in your life, okay? So all of these are the filter for hearing the voice of the Spirit of God in our lives. And I promise you this, guys, as you learn to listen to that voice and as you learn to act on it, it's going to be easier and easier to hear it. But the inverse is true as well. The more you choose to ignore the voice of the Spirit of God in your life and listen to the other voices, the more challenging it's going to become to discern his voice in the midst of everything else. All right? Now, when we choose to follow the voice of the Spirit, he can do amazing things, transformational things, world-changing things. This is the Spirit of God that we're talking about. The creator of all the universe has come and lived in us. And as a result, amazing things can happen. Luke is about to decide if he's going to follow the voice of the Force or if he's going to go his own way and listen to the other voices. Check this out.
Use the Force, Luke.
Strong in this one.
Luke, trust me.
His computer's off. Luke, you switched off your targeting computer. What's wrong?
Nothing. I'm all right.
When ready.
Commence primary ignition.
Luke,
So Luke decides to follow the voice of the Force, right? He follows in, and something amazing happens. This shot that he's not supposed to make. In fact, multiple people have actually failed this shot before him. He ends up making it. He saves his friends. He thwarts the Empire's nefarious plans, right? And it's all because he chose to follow this voice. When we choose to follow the voice of the Spirit in our lives, change happens. Amazing things happen. So let me talk to just a couple of groups of people out there right now. If you are not a Christ follower, if you do not know who this Jesus is and this Spirit that we're talking about, then let me invite you to have that conversation. I'm going to have a prayer team up here right after service. Please come talk to one of them. Come talk to us at the Next Step station. Welcome kiosk. Wherever you go, wherever you see someone volunteering, we want to have a conversation about what it means to have the Spirit of God transforming your life. For those of you who are Christ followers, it's not just about listening. It's not just about hearing his voice. It's about doing it. It's the action of following the voice of the Spirit in our lives. Because it's only when we act that he's able to do those amazing things. So act on that conviction. Act on the voice of God's word, on the voice of the Spirit through other people. Start acting, doing things, living a Spirit-led life. Now, I hope you understand that we, as a church, we want to embody these values. We want to be like Jesus Christ. And because of that, I'm going to ask you to stick around for the next couple of weeks, because we are so excited about what the Spirit is doing here. And we are so excited about trying to listen to his voice and follow wherever he leads. And that's what our next 3 weeks are going to be all about. Stick around. You're going to hear some amazing things. Now, I'm going to pray in just a moment and close out. But before I do, I hope you heard this message. I hope you heard that the Spirit of God, the relationship that Jesus Christ has, he wants to have it with you, with each of us. And that is so exciting. Now, stick around right after the message, because we have some credits, and just maybe we might have a post-credit scene that you'll want to see. So, stick around, check it out. Let's talk to God. Father, you are good all the time, even when we fall short. And Father, I ask for your forgiveness. Just I know that I sometimes I hear the voice of the Spirit in my life and I choose to do my own thing, or I choose to listen to other voices. And Father, I ask that you give me the strength, and you give every single person in here the strength to hear that voice and follow through, to be the people that you have designed them to be, to act in ways that honor you, that represent you in this world. And Father, I pray for those here who do not know you. I ask that your Spirit speaks into their lives, and that through the conviction that the Spirit can provide, that maybe today is the first time that they will walk into relationship with you, Father, and choose your voice over everything else. I pray that you guide us as a church, Father, that you help us to be a people that lives out the core value of Spirit-led living in every action, in every word, in every day of our lives. It's in your name we pray. Amen.